welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Amen. Well, this morning, it is my honor to introduce a special guest speaker that we have, and this individual is going to be familiar to some of you, might be brand new to others, but PK and Joey Wilson have been a part of our church family for really the last 3 years, and they've served in a variety of different roles, most of them behind the scenes. So they've been part of administrative roles here at the church, they've been part of our sound team here at the church, they've taught within our equipping classes, and so Square 1 and Square 3 are some places that you might have seen them. If you're in that process, and they have been a part of our counseling and care ministries that we're building out and offering here at the church as well. But one of the things that PK brings, and he's going to be sharing God's word with us today, is a wealth of ministry experience. And here's just a little bit about him. He's somebody who's studied everything from automotive technician type of stuff to outdoor recreation, but also Bible and theology and counseling. He's been in a variety of different roles in helping and caring for others. He's been a pastor, a counselor, a coach, a teacher, a therapist, a military chaplain that served 2 years in Iraq, or two tours, excuse me, in Iraq. So he's busy, man. He's done a lot. He's got a wealth of experience to bring this morning. He's been in active ministry for over 30 years. But what I know about PK is he loves to laugh. He's a lot of fun. He loves Jesus with all of his heart, and I would encourage you to welcome him warmly as PK comes to share from God's word today.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for those kind words. It's just fun to have a life. It's fun to have fun. I went to college, and when I went to college, I majored in outdoor recreation camp administration. That's like a clue right there. It was so great, you know. And I love coming here every Sunday just to get blessed, just to get encouragement. Encouragement is such a wonderful thing, and I'd love to be encouraged. If you ever need to encourage somebody, and you just feel like you want to do a spiritual ministry, I would just invite you to come up to me and encourage me and say, "Hey, PK, how are you?" That's why I come to church here. Pastor Ben, Pastor Beth, Pastor Cameron, Pastor Bob, Pastor Tom, Pastor Candy, we all have a great time. It's wonderful. This last month, as we had the series, Love Came Down. And I was excited about what was happening. I was excited about the series that Pastor Ben was speaking on. And I came with anticipation of what is he going to say. And he started off with, love came down. Love's presence. And it was an amazing first sermon in the series. And I was struck by just how much I needed it, and how much it touched my heart, and how much I was waiting for what God wanted to do. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow! You know, as I wander around my yard and look at the ants, I'm always thinking, how am I going to communicate with these little guys? They're just inhabiting the wrong places all the time, the wrong places. And I always think to myself, if I could just speak ant and tell them to move on over there where there's weeds and eat all those weeds gone, life would go a whole lot better. You see, God, in his amazing ways, came in the flesh. Pastor Ben told us about that. It was amazing. My heart was touched. I was moved. I went away from church thinking, that's got to be the best all-time sermon ever. The next week, I came back and Pastor Ben talked about the security of knowing the names of God. The security of knowing someone's name. Wow, what you think really doesn't matter, but in the world in which I was raised, you didn't know anybody's name. I was a kid. It's like, hey, you don't call anybody by their name. You don't ever talk to somebody and call them by a first name. Being a little kid who's usually in trouble, it's like, well, what is their first name? It's like, it's a secret. Pastor Ben led us through four of those names. But the name that touched my heart was Prince of Peace. Wow. Did I ever need peace in my life that Sunday? And once again, I was amazed at what God did in my life through Pastor Ben, through his word, telling me that there is a different way to live. And then I thought to myself, there's no way next week can get better. There's just no way. And he spoke the third message, and the third message just tore my heart up. It was on rescue. God came to rescue us, to care for us. And I thought to myself, how many times have I stood in a position to need to be rescued? And it's way too many times. I can tell you how many times I couldn't even begin to express, but a lot of people, my friends could tell you, he actually has needed physical rescue on so many occasions. Wow. And that's the God we serve. That's the God that the Bible talks about that rescues us. And then the last sermon in the series was ruling and reigning. That God has the authority. And how important that is. You know, it's good from time to time to know somebody that has some authority. I think, wow. Can you believe that God cares about me? Can you believe that God cares about you so much that he's in charge? Wow. My heart was moved. My heart was warmed. It was wonderful to hear the good news. And then Pastor Ben said, PK, will you speak? Oh, I thought, my word. Sure, I'll speak. The answer is always yes. But then it's like, well, what would I have to say? Who would I talk about? So I began to question my grandchildren about what I should talk about. And I thought they were telling me that I should talk about leadership, that I should talk about forms of leadership. And I asked them the questions. What kind of leader is Grandpa? And they don't always understand the questions, but one of them came back with a great, great answer. Grandpa's leadership style is candy. Hey, I love that. I've loved candy my whole life. Candy's been a ministry. In fact, when I was in Iraq, I had Jolly Ranchers in this pocket. And toilet paper in this pocket. So, in fact, if you could take a satellite picture of the world and find Jolly Rancher wrappers, I am sure that's where I've been. Oh, the sweetness of a leadership that brings you something wonderful in the night of your despair. I can think of how many times I would be wandering about in the military, that I would be out in the field at 2 a.m, that I would be trying to encourage somebody who's been standing all night on watch at the ready. And as I walk up, in the most profound way, they would say, "Do you have any candy, Chaplain?" I also took a deal one time, and I desperately wanted to know how to fly fish. And maybe you've oftentimes seen the movie, A River Runs Through It, and the beauty of fly fishing, and when that line is laid out, and how wonderful it is. And I had a dream that I could fly fish. In fact, I had a friend who was a world fly fishing guide. And he came across my path a number of times. And one time I thought to myself, this is my big opportunity. This is when I can actually learn to fly fish. And so the next time we came across one another, I said to him, "Why don't you teach me how to fly fish?" And he laughed. See, he'd known me for a while and knew how distractible I was. But after a course of time and talking to him, I convinced him that he should come live at my house for a year and teach me how to fly fish. And so, after much cajoling and much conversation and fun times together, he finally agreed. And the agreement was that for a year, I would be his fly fishing slave. That I would follow him wherever he went, that I would do exactly as he did, that I would be transformed, and my boys, into a fly fisherman. Wow. It was one of the best years of my whole life. It was awesome. It was cool. I loved the fly fishing. When he wasn't off in some strange country, the fly fishing on gold medal waters, he'd be back in southern Colorado, and several times we'd go out and fly fish, and it was wonderful. I learned so much about fly fishing. I learned that when you catch a fish and you smell a bear at the same time, the bear has priority. I learned that when you come around a corner and you see a bear standing there fishing, it's inappropriate for you to bother. I learned that you can take some great lunches. Man, some of the lunches and some of the places we'd been. And I also learned that waiters are real helpful if you can afford them. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Hold your Bible up if you have it today, or your cell phone, or wherever you read your Bible at. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would open our minds to your word, that you would open our ears to what you have to tell us in our hearts, that you would move in a special way in this service because you love us. In Christ's name, amen. We begin with a scripture that's amazing. It's Matthew 20, 27, and 28. It says this, "And whoever would be first among you must be the slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many." Servanthood. What do you think about servanthood? It's not like one of the goals of my whole life that I thought, you know, I think the rest of my life, I just want to be a slave. In fact, even to say that, you kind of get a cringe. You kind of wonder, what is it that somebody would want to be a slave? What is it that somebody would want to do the will of someone else the rest of their life? And then it dawned on me that Jesus is talking. And that Jesus is saying a key to Christian life is being a servant. Wow! How could that be? I think sometimes it's because being a leader is having someone else do what you don't want to do. Being a servant is actually being what someone wants you to be. What does it take to be a servant? You ask my grandkids. Once again, that question, I'll ask them a question and say, you know, what does it take to be a servant? Well, they say, what it takes is you have to have somebody in charge of you. Wow, that's profound. That's amazing. In order to be a servant, you have to have someone in charge. You have to have someone else who sits above you and says, this is the way to move. This is what to do. Even the Son of God came to this earth and didn't regard equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, let it flow out of him, and became humble to the point of the death on a cross. What is it to be a servant? Well, it's a good life. I did it for a year, learning to fly fish. It was a good life. But I want to tell you this morning, there's a better life. And that better life is with, number one, a God who loves you. And there's just three quick points that I want to look at this morning. The first one is that, Luke 10:27. And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And your neighbor is yourself. The basis of love changes everything. I go to Walmart and I look for people in love. You can tell who they are. You can see that as you're walking up and down the aisles, in the wrong direction or the right direction. And you see those that are in love. And I don't know what it is. It's just something different about them. So that there's a glow. There's a presence. There's a kindness that goes with it. And that love changes lives. As I walk around town, as I visit with my friends, and as I have conversations, especially conversations with people that I love, it changes the way the whole conversation goes. I care about them so much. I don't want to hear the bad stuff. I want to hear the good stuff. I want to hear the blessings. I want to hear the movement of God. And so Jesus gave us the example, the beautiful example of trust. Jesus walked on this earth showing us how to be loved by God and love God. Now our mission as servants is to take everything, every ounce of energy that we have, every benefit that we've been given, all the strength of our whole lives, and embrace the love of God. I've asked people questions in my life, and one of the questions that I never have had a no answer to was, if you had a friend who could create the universe, who only ever had your best at heart, who was all powerful, would you say yes to that friendship? I've never had a person turn me down. It's wonderful. It's great. It's magnificent. It's life lived. Number one, in being a servant, do you know love? Do you know love poured down for you? The second thing that I ask you this morning, Matthew 6:10, and Pastor Ben has had us read that, so that was on my radar. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow! Jesus gave us an example of how to live life, not only based on here on earth, but in heaven. What a wonderful place that is. And when I think of what Jesus did and the love and compassion that he showed others, then I also look at how did he get that love and compassion? How did he stay in that love and compassion all the time? It was because of his devotion, his continued devotion. How many evenings was Jesus gone to the mountaintop to pray? Well, it got so curious with the disciples that they finally asked him, hey, what are you doing up there? He's maintaining a relationship. Jesus gives us the example in the flesh of how to live. It's amazing. Do you want your life to be filled with the power of God? Are you up for a change? In the last verse this morning, it says in Matthew 20:26, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Wow! What is a servant? What's the definition of a servant? How would you know if you came in contact with a servant? What is it that makes somebody a servant? Recently, I read a story about one of the greeters at Walmart. He was an elderly man, and he was retired, but he got a little bored with retirement, and so he got himself a greeter job in Walmart. I've probably said hi to this gentleman 100 times. His name was Charlie Willard. And Charlie was a good man. He was always clean. He was always coming to Walmart for work. He was good for a smile. He was good for a little encouragement. And he had one problem. Just one problem. The problem was getting to Walmart on time. And the manager of Walmart took note that sometimes he was 5 minutes and sometimes he was 7 minutes late. And it went on for a while, and finally the manager at Walmart had to say to himself, well, I probably need to take him aside and have a conversation. He was a military man, so the manager of Walmart said, well, I've got an angle on this, and I think I can really communicate with him. And so he came to the manager's office, and the greeter, of course, greeted him with a smile and a handshake and said, "I'm so glad to see you." And the manager said, "Well, you know, I know that you were a Navy man, and I know that you put in years in the military, and I've noticed that you've been coming late to work." And the manager of Walmart said, "I just want to know, what did they tell you in the Navy when you came late to work?" And Charlie said, "Well, they usually said, 'Admiral, can I get you a cup of coffee?'" What does it mean to be a servant? I have to ask my grandkids that question again. What does it mean to be a servant? It means someone else is in charge. It means that you're taking all you are and all the God-given qualities that God has given you and lifting another up to the glory of God. Lifting another up to the glory of God. How many times in my life have I just needed a little encouragement? Oh, my goodness, more than I'd count. But I want to tell you, the encouragement that came through people who were servants of the Most High God. You see, that's how the world knows. When the world doesn't know God, where do they look? They look to the servants. Wouldn't it be wonderful serve Jesus, the one who loves you and gave his life for you? How do you do? Let's stand together and pray. Praise team, would you come forward? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you came to earth in the flesh. Lord, we thank you that you laid down your life so that we might have life. Lord God, that you paid the ransom fee that we could not afford. Lord God, we love you. And we thank you for taking away the sting of death. Lord, we ask that you would show us your love today. That you would help us respond to you, Lord, to the devotion that you demonstrated to us. Lord, the service. May our lives be transformed. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this body of believers that encourages one another, that lifts one another up to you, that strengthens the weak, that strengthens the hurting. Lord, we thank you so much for the example you set of being a servant. Lord God, help us to live for you. Help us to encourage others. Strengthen us by your Spirit. Transform our lives so that the world may know your love. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We have some action steps this morning. You can take a picture of them, or you might find them on Facebook later this week. Read Romans 12:1 every day. This week, every day, read that. The second is, find somebody to serve. Find somebody to care for. Find somebody to strengthen. And the last is, allow somebody to encourage you to be your servant.